CBS News Brief. President-elect Donald Trump is expected to choose a one-time foe, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, to be his Secretary of State. CBS's Matt Piper.
The 53-year-old Rubio is a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and the top Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee and is a China hawk with extensive foreign policy experience.
A judge in New York is expected to decide today whether to scrap Mr. Trump's conviction in his hush money case. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
Either way he goes, the one thing we know for sure is that Donald Trump and his team take any ruling up to a higher court.
Two passenger jets shot at, one that left Haiti for New York, another about to touch down on the island. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The plane was on approach to land at the Haitian airport with 48 people on board when it appears it was struck by gunfire.
The union says a flight attendant was injured by flying debris. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
It's award season in the MLB. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. Damian Lillard says the Bucks are working hard to get back on track.
You know, we just got to be able to sustain what we were doing and understand what we did well, and not have lapses and letups and give teams life.
The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
There will be plenty of sunshine today. We'll get to 48 for a high this afternoon, with wind east becoming southeasterly at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 41. Tomorrow we may catch a little sun in the morning, then clouds and showers in the afternoon with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
The Jim Rome Show.
I love me some Ant Edwards. This is no secret. But it's also no secret that that dude can be a lot. He said he'd play in the NFL if the Wolves win a ring in the next 3 to 4 years. And not only that, but said that he wants a piece of none other than the king, Derrick Henry. NFL all pros want nothing to do with Derrick Henry in the open field. Ant, keep the king's name out your mouth.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM. The Zone.
Well, one of our Wisconsin beat producers picking up accolades on the national scene. We're going to talk with them this morning. Actually, Ben Jarbo is. Welcome in, everybody. It's the Midwest Farm Report on a Tuesday morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Yeah, that's one of the stories we've got coming your way. Also, some new faces on the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's Young Farmer and Agriculturalist Board of Directors. We'll tell you who they are. And John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live to give us the latest update on how the markets are trading for today. Weather-wise, that looks like we're going to see some sunshine today. Not real warm. Daytime highs today expected to be around 49 degrees with a little bit of a breeze out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, down to 35. Tomorrow, we've got about a 40% chance of rain, mainly in the afternoon into the evening hours. Wednesday's highs, right around 50 degrees. Then Thursday morning, we start off with a chance of rain. Otherwise, most of the day is going to be cloudy with highs near 50 degrees. Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist, joins us in about 15 minutes with all the weather details you're looking for.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance. But it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind. But the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/no pests.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
For all intents and purposes, the work in the field for this fall is mostly done. We're back in the barns, back in the buildings, in the office, looking at paperwork. Bob Osel from the northern end of the world's longest barn. We're going to visit with Bridget Finke, attorney with Valley Crossing Law in Baldwin, about some paperwork that some, not all farmers, have to be aware of. And Bridget, we're talking about the beneficial ownership information provisions of the Corporate Transparency Act that just came about in 2021. What is that, and what kind of farming operations fall under the guise of that program?
Yeah, so the Corporate Transparency Act is supposed to be preventing shell companies that go and commit criminal actions. So, you know, that sounds like every farmer, you know, right?
Not many I know, but again, as you say, it's to reduce financial crimes like tax fraud and money laundering. So how do farmers fall under that umbrella?
Yeah, so what the Act does is it now requires certain businesses, and I'll get into what businesses those are, to have to report who are the actual owners or people with controlling authority of these business entities. In Wisconsin, what we're talking about is any business that was formed by filing something with the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. That's where we do our filings in Wisconsin. And so that the biggest ones for farmers are going to be corporations and LLCs.
How many of those approximately might we have in the state? Because most farms do have some kind of documentation to for their business part of their farming operations, as well as transferring to the future generations. How many fall under this program?
I have no idea about statistics, Bob, but what I can say is a lot. There's certainly a lot of entities out there, and sometimes people have formed entities but then ultimately didn't follow through on funding them or utilizing them. And so anything that's kind of out there and still active is going to count for reporting. You know, first of all, you got to figure out, are we a business that has to report? And then you have to figure out, who are your beneficial owners? So the rules say if you own more than 25%, you know, for folks who've been maybe moving ownership interest slowly over time to children or things like that, you know, now is really your time to get your ducks in a row and make sure your corporate records accurately reflect what your ownership is. Or for any individuals who have substantial control over the entity. I think for a lot of our farms, those people are going to be one and the same, but occasionally we have, maybe dad has signed over all the interest in the farm, but he's still effectively running it. He might qualify as one of those folks with substantial control. And so then each of those people needs to provide information, identifiable information, so name, date of birth, address, and then you've got to present some kind of ID. And so that's going to be likely either a driver's license or a passport or any other kind of government-issued ID. All of that stuff needs to be wrapped up and filed under the business entity name. You know, like you said, there's plenty of farms where maybe we have multiple entities, right? We've got one entity that's the operation, and maybe one owns the land, and then another one maybe owns the cattle or something like that. And so if any individual is the owner in multiple businesses, they can individually go in and submit their information and then just get a number called a FinCEN number. And then when the entity files, all it needs is their number. It doesn't need to be collecting the copies of the driver's license and all of that.
But as far as the initial information, while we can file it under the name of the corporation or the partnership, the information for every owner with substantial say in the operation, that information from them has to be included. It's not just the corporation itself, it's the people that make up that corporation.
You got it. And that's exactly what the law is getting at. They want to know the real people behind the scenes, not just the outside of the shell of the business entity.
Now, and this was put in following the pandemic back in 2021. They said they did it to reduce financial crimes such as tax fraud and money laundering. Who are they filing this with? Is this the IRS, or who gets this information that we have to provide?
It is going to, FinCEN is Federal Crimes Enforcement Network, and that is under the U.S. Treasury.
And this has got a timestamp after the first of the year. This is something they've got to be aware of, because filing is coming up pretty soon, right?
If your business was created prior to this year, you are required to do your first filing by 1/1/25.
That's not far away.
It is not. It is not. And, you know, when we touched base about this, Bob, I reminded you, you know, we talked about this about a year ago, but, you know, it's always easy to put those things off until the deadline is right in front of us. The other thing for those long existing businesses to be aware of is then even after you meet your first deadline, if you have a change of ownership in the future, so let's say you get your report in here in November and you think, oh, we're ready to go. But then as of the first of the year, you do annual gifting. And so you move a few more shares in that corporation. Then you have a 30-day deadline to update and report that change of ownership back to Vincent again.
Are there a lot of penalties if you don't get this done on time? And is it like taxes? You can request a delay to file your taxes later on. How severe are the penalties for not getting this done on time? And what kind of, limbo can we get ourselves into here?
Well, the fines are substantial, and I'm not aware of any petition to extend. And frankly, you get your ducks in a row, the report itself isn't terribly onerous. It's really gathering up that information from your owners. But it's up to $500 a day penalty, and that on the civil side, or it could be $10,000 in imprisonment up to 2 years on the criminal side. There's a lot of speculation about when, who, if would enforce, but my strong recommendation would be why even open the door for any sort of penalty. We got a couple of months here. Let's get our ducks in a row and just get it filed.
From working with this over your career, a lot of setting up corporations, LLCs, and all the laws that go with it, was this just a knee-jerk reaction, or was there really a problem out there that this was trying and hopefully did correct?
My inherent cynicism on this is, if you're engaging in criminal activity, are you going to, you know, show up, wave your hand to the U.S. Treasury and say, hey, here's my criminal activity. You know, will this only ultimately be effective to the extent they really start trying to chase people down? I don't know. Above my pay grade, Bob.
But the bottom line is, if you fall into this category, you have until January 1st of 2025 to get this filed. Extensions aren't out there like paying our taxes, our income taxes. So get it done. Again, it's the beneficial ownership information provisions of the Corporate Transparency Act, and we do have farms in Wisconsin that fall under that rule. Bridget Finke with us from Valley Crossing Law in Baldwin to explain it all from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. WRJN. WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 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 WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
But really not that different temperature-wise.
No, not that big of a difference. You know, this time of the season, it seems like even as you get down through Illinois, Iowa, and into Missouri, just not that big of a difference in temperatures. But it is going to be a little bit different. We're going to start finding our way slowly, kind of closer to normal. Maybe we haven't talked about that much. Our normal daytime highs for the majority of Wisconsin in the upper 40s yet, you know, 46 to 48 degrees or so. That's about it. So it is getting cooler. It is November, and this cooler air mass has been settling in today with high pressure overhead. Even though I don't expect we'll all get all of the sunshine, there'll be more clouds in the western part of the state. It will be a fairly quiet day, not quite as breezy as it was yesterday, and our temperatures ought to be at and a little above normal. So upper 40s, maybe a 50 here or there. That sounds like a very fine Tuesday, no doubt at all. Not a bad day for that drive to Kansas City for Pam and the crew. But there is a low pressure system building in from the Pacific Northwest. The radar indicating that precipitation quite a bit further west, Montana, Idaho, that kind of an area. But as that low pressure system is going to stream a bit further east, we'll see more clouds developing and run into some rain possibilities a little later Wednesday, overnight Wednesday, and just into early Thursday. I think I highlighted yesterday, not a lot of rain, maybe up to a quarter or maybe a half inch if we're that lucky. That system slides through that cool front in the low pass right across southern Wisconsin, and we'll dry it out again. Those temperatures stay mild, in fact, on the above normal side for the end of the week and our upcoming weekend, too. I'll have forecast details right after this.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good. Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/no pests.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, mostly sunny east and south, more clouds in the west and north, but we push into the upper 40s or maybe a 50 here or there in the south. The northeast winds becoming southeast today, about 5 to 10. More clouds overnight, very low to mid-30s with southeast breezes. Mostly cloudy Wednesday, rain most likely later in the day toward the nighttime. Still in the upper 40s or about 50 tomorrow, a little rain early Thursday. Mostly cloudy, upper 40s near 50 Thursday. Pam, more sunshine, probably for southern Wisconsin, mid-50s already for Friday.
Oh, that's not so bad then. All right. And what'd you say our normal daytime high would be?
We should probably be anywhere in that 46 to 48 north and south in the state.
All right. When is, like, do you recall what the latest snow is?
I'd have to look that up just off the top of my head, but just don't go pushing that. It'll be here soon enough.
Yeah, I know for sure. Normally, if I'm going to Kansas City, there's been years when we've been sliding and gliding on either ice or snow, so I'll take this for sure. Thanks, buddy.
All right, we'll see you later.
Yep, Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, with the weather details that you're looking for on a Tuesday morning. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, on the way. And we're saluting a Wisconsin beef producer that's getting national recognition. Stand by.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. November 6th, the Mesa County, Colorado District Attorney's Office announced charges against two women who allegedly stole mail-in ballots, filled them out, and submitted them in an attempt to test the ballot signature verification process. News site Colorado Politics reports that a U.S. Postal Service mail carrier, Vicki Lynn Stewart, allegedly provided Sally Jane Smith with 16 mail-in ballots intended for citizens in Grand Junction, Colorado. When county election officials found signature discrepancies, one intended voter contacted by the election office said they had not voted, and another voter using the state's ballot tracking system said the system showed he had voted when he had not. Local officials alerted the Colorado Secretary of State's office, and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation launched an inquiry in late October. Smith is accused of filling out and returning the ballots and faces six counts of felony identity theft, two felony counts of attempting to influence a public servant, and six counts of forgery. Mail carrier Stewart faces 16 counts of felony identity theft, 16 felony counts of forgery, and attempting to influence a public servant. If convicted, both women face substantial fines and/or prison time. Such election fraud is so infrequent, it rarely, if ever, affects election outcomes. We have links to the detailed reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
1400 AM and 99.9
and 98.1
FM, WRJN.
WRJN. WRJN.
WRJN. Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Donald Trump is expected to choose a one-time foe, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, to be his Secretary of State. CBS's Matt Piper.
The 53-year-old Rubio is a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and the top Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee and is a China hawk with extensive foreign policy experience.
A judge in New York is expected to decide today whether to scrap Mr. Trump's conviction in his hush money case. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
Either way he goes, the one thing we know for sure is that Donald Trump and his team take any ruling up to a higher court.
Two passenger jets shot at, one that left Haiti for New York, another about to touch down on the island. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The plane was on approach to land at the Haitian airport with 48 people on board when it appears it was struck by gunfire.
The union says a flight attendant was injured by flying debris. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
It's award season in the MLB. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. Damian Lillard says the Bucks are working hard to get back on track.
You know, we just got to be able to sustain what we were doing and understand what we did well, and not have lapses and let-ups and give teams life.
The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
There will be plenty of sunshine today. We'll get to 48 for a high this afternoon, with wind east becoming southeasterly at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 41. Tomorrow we may catch a little sun in the morning, then clouds and showers in the afternoon with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 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 WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
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 Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
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 Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
And they lost, and then they did what they did against Iowa. And so it just feels like you're almost back at square one, and it's hard to feel super excited about this matchup relative even to the other two top five games.
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to think of some hope here, Jesse. Outside of the obvious of Braden Locke not having mind-numbing, head-scratching interception or fumble? Like, what is the key, I guess, for Wisconsin to potentially pull this off here Saturday night?
Well, defensively, they have to be a heck of a lot better. I mean, if you let Dylan Gabriel stand back there, he's going to absolutely annihilate you like he's been doing to a lot of other teams. And I don't know. I mean, maybe the good news is the pass defense will show up because the run defense sure didn't show up against Iowa. But they're going to have to, just to be real about it, they're going to have to play collectively the best game this group has ever played. And frankly, the best game individually any of these guys have ever played. That's what it takes to be the number one team when you're at where Wisconsin is at right now. And again,
if you've got a question that you'd like John Heinberg, our market advisor, to address about what's happening with the trade, you go ahead and use our talk text line. Let me know what that question might be. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. He's going to be jumping on the phone with us here in about 15 minutes. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Today is the 12th day of November. What can I tell you? Well, on this day back in 1966, the very first images of a solar eclipse were taken from space. Buzz Aldrin was able to view and take pictures of the total solar eclipse over South America. He was part of the crew of Gemini 12. That was on this day back in 1966. On this day in 1984, the first salvage operation in space. Two astronauts were on the shuttle Discovery, and they had a series of spacewalks to pick up parts from two satellites that kind of missed their orbits. That was on this day back in 1984. Couple birthdays for you. Happy birthday to actress Anne Hathaway. She is 42 today. And actor Ryan Gosling turns 44 today. And now you know. We want you to know that a young Wisconsin beef producer has picked up national accolades at a recent convention. Ben Jarbo's got the details.
The American Angus Association held their convention in Fort Worth, Texas, where one Wisconsin farmer took home a pristine honor. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and joining me is Cody Quam of the Marta Angus Farm out of Lodi, and he took home the Young Angus Breeder of the Year Award. He explains what this convention consists of and what it means to him and his family to be named the American Angus Association Young Breeder of the Year.
Every year, the American Angus Association has an annual convention. For the last 10 or so years, it's been moved around the country at various locations. This year, it was in Fort Worth, Texas. It is the yearly convention and then also the meeting of delegates to vote on new, the annual business meeting to vote on new leadership and any business that needs to be handled on that level.
And when you were there, you got named the Young Angus Breeder of the Year. What does that mean to you and your family to be able to win this award?
It was an amazing honor to be recognized amongst the talented and hardworking people of the Angus industry. To be recognized as a Young Producer of the Year, Young Breeder of the Year, it was actually very, very humbling and very, I guess, rewarding to know that all the work you try and do and keep, you know, keep your nose to the grindstone actually gets recognized once in a while. But to be recognized not only for what we do here at the farm, but also included in that was, you know, the extracurricular activities of being involved in various breed and industry organizations. Also, they took a little bit of that into account, you know, for what we try and give, you know, as a producer tries to give back to the industry.
And when they're looking for who to give this award to, they look across the country at Angus producers, don't they?
Yeah, it was nationwide. From anybody, you know, under 45 years of age. I mean, to go up against, you know, considering the American Angus Association is the largest beef breed association, you know, we have 300,000 registrations a year and, you know, of new cattle, and, you know, to work with a contemporary group of people that I'm working with every day and the talented and professional people that are in that pool of people is, again, very, very humbling and astonished that they consider me one of them. So,
and as we take a look at what led up to winning this award, could you give us a brief history of the farm as well as what you've done to make sure your farm's at this high level as being one of the top Angus producers?
Well, our farm here, Marta Angus Farm, started in Angus cattle and in 1942 with my great grandfather, and I'm the fourth generation. We're working on the farm and in the Angus industry. And, a lot of what this award recognized was just, somebody that took an active role in the breed along with, in their herd and what they did. And a lot of what, my role coming back to a farm has been just fine tuning our genetic base to get the most out of them, and also working with our customers and developing those relationships even further and helping them. We try and be more than just a seed stock supplier, but also work with them if they need help or want help and in any aspect of their operation in terms of marketing their calves or their feeder cattle, we're here to help. And those are the things that make these operations grow and to be successful.
Cody Quam says the work his farm has done is not for the awards, but more to help the industry as a whole and other Angus producers to be able to get the most out of their animals. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Football players are equipped with standard equipment, helmet, shoulder pads, and cleats. What if the entire front line was issued Bobcat equipment from Bobcat Plus? Not only would the game be more interesting, the added Bobcat attachments would make cleanup and turf grooming so much easier for the groundskeeper.
Visit Bobcat Plus in Appleton and BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good. Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
I want to send my personal congratulations to Cody Quam and his family, all the folks at Marta Angus in Lodi. It really is wonderful to see our young people involved in Wisconsin agriculture getting recognition on the national scene. Way to go. Well, the markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, still trying to figure out what direction they want to go. It's changed on again, off again all morning long. Dow Jones Industrial Average right now is down about 30 points. December corn in overnight trade right now up a penny and a half at 431. March corn's up a penny at 444. January soybeans are down 7 right now, 1015, with November next year new crop down 7. 1037. December wheat's up a penny at 566. July new crop up a penny, 599. Dairy really struggled yesterday in Chicago. Barrel cheese dropped 8 to 168¾. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny on Monday at 171. Double A butter dropped a half to 264½ per pound. The December class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning up 15 cents at 1910. January's up 8 at 1902. We've got some new faces that are joining the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's Young Farmer and Agriculturalist Committee. The Board of Directors has selected Eric and Cadence Senkowski from Dane County, Amanda Williams from Shawnee County, and Jason Barrett from Wood County as their new appointees. Their responsibilities on the board begin at the end of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau's Young Farmer and Agriculturalist Conference on December 8th, hoping to see a lot of folks up in Wisconsin Dells at the Kalahari Resort for that big event. It kind of kicks off the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual meeting
in Wisconsin Dells. Those folks that have just been appointed to that committee begin their responsibilities and will serve a three-year term. If you want to find out a little bit more about what they do involving agriculture, we've got it up now at MidwestFarmReport.com. John Heinberg joining us next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
WRJN. WRJN. WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning, and you're home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
WRJN. WRJN. WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning, and you're home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Joined this morning by my friend John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. You've been to this event, John. You know it's kind of organized chaos, don't you think? Is that about right?
That's a good way to describe it, but it was always one of my favorite trips. It's unfortunate the company has decided to go away from that just with, you know, budget items and things of that nature. But yeah, it was always one of my favorite trips going down to KC.
Well, good, good. We'll speak well of you while we're there. So let's talk this morning about what's shaking out with these markets, John. You and I have a lot of ground to cover. Friday, we had a big World Ag Supply Demand Report from USDA that actually provided the market with a little bit more shock if they hadn't already had enough after the election, right?
Yeah, very much so. We saw some pretty big yield cuts, especially in the soybean side, which I think was a little bit surprising to the market, just even given where the market was anticipating things to go. So just kind of quick run through the numbers. You know, that soybean yield was brought down 1.4 bushels per acre to 51.7, probably really reflecting that dryness that we saw, you know, in the harvest window and the finishing window. You know, and that was I wasn't surprised by the cut. I was surprised by the size of the cut just from talking to people. But, you know, just talking to clients here in Wisconsin that we're dealing with, they were really seeing that yield really drop in certain areas. You know, Wisconsin was one of the biggest states that saw a cut. We lost 4 bushels per acre down to 49 bushels per acre as the state average. You know, so again, reflecting some of those finishing conditions and just some of the issues that we had here in our state throughout the entire growing season. You know, over on the corn side, 6 tenths of a bushel cut down to 183.1, which is still a very large yield. At the same time, I mean, we've seen some very good demand overall. So again, maybe that dry weather, since this corn came out of the fields extremely dry, and that water and that test weight may have been a big factor in some of that. Now, we typically see some cuts in the November report. In fact, only two times in the last 20 years that we've seen the USDA raise yields from, you know, September, October, November, in that time frame. So maybe that was a little bit systematic, so we'll have to see. Biggest thing is, though, in the markets, we saw a reaction. We'll see where things want to go. Beans have been now starting to soften. The supplies are still extremely large overall. You know, corn, we're still looking at the largest carryout at 1.938 billion bushels since 2018. And soybeans, the largest carryout since 2019, but also the fourth largest in the last 20 years.
And I think on the heels of that report, John, again, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. You can find him at TotalFarmMarketing.com. And don't forget, toll-free number 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. On kind of the heels of that World Ag Supply Demand Report, John, are the continued concerns we're hearing through the marketplace on what the Trump administration is queuing up for 2025 with commodities in mind?
Yeah, you know, big watch is what, who's going to be in charge of the trade team that handles the U.S. trade on the global scale. And that was actually something that also came out on Friday, right after the report did the talk that Robert Lighthizer was going to head up U.S. trade. Robert Lighthizer, as well as Pete Navarro, were the ones in charge of trade back during the first Trump administration. And those two are known for being tariff hawks and very anti-China in terms of how they want to negotiate and being tough there. I think the market, especially soybeans, kind of saw that come into play, and that's really kind of weighed on the market a little bit here. Now, we got a little further news that Lighthizer is not going to be taking over U.S. trade, but he is looking for some type of a post possibly in the Trump administration that's going to be dealing with commerce or something along those lines. But at the same time, it just sends that message out that the market is concerned about what's going to happen in terms of our trade policies and with China as we go forward. And obviously soybeans are the most commodity reflected in that regard, and typically sometimes even pork.
Well, and, you know, it's not just limited to what we've produced. It may be about what we need, like fertilizer.
Yeah, very much so. And those products could, you know, we'll see what happens on terms of tariffs coming into the country, if there's any price gouging that President Trump feels he wants to cover. You know, one area that we've been watching very closely has been the soybean oil market. Obviously, we've got this crush industry growing, the use for biodiesel here, but we've been dealing with these used cooking oil imports coming into the country that has limited that industry in terms of what we could use for domestic stocks. That market's actually seen a pretty good pop, now starting to fade the last couple of days here, maybe finally getting a little too rich. But the thought that when Trump takes office, he'll put a tariff on that used cooking oil, and the biodiesel industry will have to shift over to those domestic supplies and help supporting that soybean usage, which was the overall plan that we started a couple of years ago when we started talking about this heavy crush.
The other thing about the Trump administration, if I recall, they were generally pro-ethanol too, weren't they, as far as biofuels?
They were actually fairly green in terms of those biofuel movements and, again, wanting to get ethanol into the system, getting it used more. I know they were pushing heavy for the E15. We're still struggling getting that out there as way it needs to be on a national scale. You know, so those are some things that will be policies we need to watch as we, start turning the calendar into next year. And hopefully we get some more of this domestic demand, because realistically, even though export sales have been pretty good for both corn and soybeans, more corn than soybeans, we still need that domestic usage to get through these supply piles.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, live on the Midwest Farm Report. TotalFarmMarketing.com, 800-334-9779. John, what's happening in South America? Got to keep an eye on them now, because as we wrap up our year, they really get in the heart of their own.
Yeah, well, they're getting through the planting pace. Weather continues to be extremely favorable right now for both crops and in Brazil as well as Argentina. Now, as Argentina is starting to hit their planting window, Brazilian planting pace, which we were concerned about 3 weeks ago, is now ahead of schedule as the rains have come and the forecast is keeping the moisture in. It looks like at least at this stage that Brazilian crop as well as that Argentina crop are going to be off to very, very strong starts.
That's a little bit of a surprise, like you said, how quickly things can change. What else do we need to train our eye on, John, before we talk to you next week?
you know, again, just kind of seeing how this market wants to handle here. It's going to be basis contract time here at the end of December. That could be something limiting corn markets that producers need to start staying active in terms of getting those contracts priced or deciding what to roll, if they're going to roll them out.
Very good. Appreciate it, my friend. Always great to talk with you. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. I remind you again about their website, Midwest Farm. Try that again. TotalFarmMarketing.com or call them 800-334-9779. You'll be able to listen to this conversation again in just moments on our podcast playlist. That's at MidwestFarmReport.com. Like I said, the crew and I are on the road as quick as we can get things packed up here. Next time you hear our voices, it will be from the National Farm Broadcasters Convention in Kansas City. Have a great Tuesday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
WRJN. WRJN. WRJN.
Feral pigs can be a hazard to your health and to your livestock's health. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. If you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
As feral pigs continue to spread across portions of the U.S., you do well to keep your distance from them. In Texas, where the feral pig population is estimated at 2.5 million head, Brent Moore is a regional veterinarian with the Texas Department of State Health Services.
And when we think of biosecurity measures on farm operations, we're thinking of farm-to-farm transition of pathogens, and we also work to keep the animals inside the property, but we don't oftentimes manage effectively keeping wildlife populations from getting into the farm operations.
Moore says feral pigs can carry zoonotic diseases, which can transmit to humans and, of course, to other livestock. You may not know if your farm animals have been in contact with them.
When you go to your doctor, let them know that you work in an environment where you can be exposed to these organisms. These are diseases that aren't super common, but they're probably underdiagnosed and not recognized as frequently as they could be because of a lack of knowledge of being exposed to these organisms.
For additional resources on protecting yourself and your farm operation, visit the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 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 WRJN.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
You're listening to WRJN and W260CV Racine, W251BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CV.